news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm Janet Adkison, your host for the show. And as we mentioned last week, recovery efforts continue across the Midwest, and FFA is lending a helping hand. The Nebraska FFA Foundation has established a storm relief fund to help victims. And joining us now is Nebraska State Director of Ag Education and FFA, Crystal Nabe. Well, Crystal, what efforts have been organized by the state's association to help those impacted by the recent natural disasters?
The Nebraska FFA Association has a great partnership with the Nebraska FFA Foundation, and together we are putting in place, or have put in place, a storm relief fund specifically for FFA members and chapters. We've seen members across the state being impacted in a variety of different ways, from schools being completely shut down, not sure when they're going to get back into school or if they even will this school year, as well as members with their own SAEs, their supervised agricultural experiences, completely wiped out. And for a young student who is wanting to be involved in agriculture, specifically production agriculture, this really sets them back from being successful starting out.
Well, talk about the benefit of seeing so many Nebraskans band together just to help out.
The support that we've seen has been amazing. We have chapters across the state who were not directly impacted by either the blizzard or the flood that have reached out and want to adopt other chapters and to help support those members and the chapter in getting reestablished.
Crystal, what kind of feedback have you been hearing from members throughout the region?
The areas, like I said, that were not impacted, it's an outpour of support, and they just want to do whatever they can, whether that's helping replace official dress as we have our upcoming state convention, so that those members have the same or similar experience possible that they would if this wouldn't have impacted them, as well as anything they can do in forms of providing either animal feed, supplies, anything to meet those local needs. They're reaching out to those chapters that are impacted, finding out what those specific needs are, and helping meet them.
Well, how can listeners learn more and maybe even contribute?
The Nebraska FFA Foundation homepage at neffafoundation.org has a link to our storm relief fund for FFA members and chapters, and all of those funds will be used directly to victims of these experiences or these natural disasters, knowing that we will have members reach out with what their specific needs are, and we'll meet them where those are.
Well, thank you for everything that you're doing in the state and, of course, for taking the time to be with us today. Nebraska State Director of Ag Education and the FFA, Crystal Nabe, joining us. And stay tuned. We'll check in on the latest from the nation's capital. That's straight ahead right here on FFA Today. Well, welcome back to the show. And as we do at the beginning of every month, we check in now with Riley Padgett, Director of Advocacy and Government Relations for National FFA. Riley, thanks for making some time for us once again. Now, March, of course, just flew by, but we don't want to forget about National Ag Week, and what a big celebration that was. How was FFA involved this year?
We had a heck of a National Agriculture Week. Had just a good time celebrating the abundance of food, fiber, natural resources, and, of course, agriculture in the United States. As always, there was a DC student program where 100 youth stormed the Capitol to talk about agriculture, food, and natural resources. 38 of those 100 students were state FFA officers from across the country, representing around 26 state FFA associations. We also were able to fund seven, National FFA was able to fund seven activities or events happening across the country, again, recognizing the importance of American agriculture. And we're able to help chapters host events with farmers and in farmers markets and in schools with peers who might not understand about food and agriculture. There were over 1,400 website views of that National Ag Week website. There were several Speak Ag dialogues hosted. In addition to that, we were finally able to award the Greatest Advocate. As you know, we hosted the Greatest Advocate Challenge here at National FFA for the first time in 2019. And drumroll, please. The winner of that chapter was the Northeast Carolina Prep FFA chapter in North Carolina. And so next month in May, they'll be awarded with a chapter-wide pizza party and a visit from a National FFA officer. So thanks again for celebrating with us in that way.
Well, a big congratulations to that chapter. Now I want to spend a minute on the Student Agriculture Protection Act. It's back up for consideration in the House. It's been here before, but has yet to be passed through. Tell us again what exactly it is and what are the odds this time.
Yeah, so you'll probably remember the Student Agricultural Protection Act or the Agricultural Students Earn Act. It's been called a number of different things in both the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. But Representative Mike McCaul from Texas introduced once again the Student Agriculture Protection Act in the 116th Congress. And that number, if you're again following along at home, is H.R. 1770. And essentially, the Student Agriculture Protection Act exempts the first $5,000 raised, grown, or produced on a project raised, grown, or produced by 4-H or FFA members. And so, for example, if there's a student, you know, showing a steer in Oklahoma, for example, and he sells that show steer for $5,500, that first $5,000 would be tax exempt, and he would only owe taxes on that additional $500. So as long as that student is running or creating or growing that project under the direction of an agricultural educator or extension educator, then that $5,000 is tax exempt. And so we're, of course, following this legislation really closely, as we know that it could do a world of good to get students re-engaged in production agriculture, back on the farm, or in some cases paying for their, you know, collegiate education or getting them on the right foot for a career in food and agriculture. Again, we know that it can do a world of good for young people in FFA and 4-H jackets everywhere.
Now, it's my understanding that the National FFA Center in Indianapolis got a pretty special visitor this week. Is that right?
Yeah, so on Tuesday of this week, Secretary Sonny Perdue visited the National FFA Center there in Indianapolis, and while he was there, was able to visit with about 40 to 50 FFA members from Indiana, several state FFA officers from Indiana, and National FFA staff. He visited with Leanne Schiller, who is the director of our membership and merchandise at the FFA Center and the longest serving National FFA staff member, held a roundtable with students and other career persons at National FFA to dive into what it is that intrigues them about agricultural education and FFA. Why are they still members? Why did they choose to work for the organization? And so it was a good time with Secretary Perdue. Of course, National FFA always appreciates the support that comes from the United States Department of Agriculture, and we look forward to working with Secretary Perdue in the months and years ahead.
Now that spring is officially here, it won't be too long before summer actually arrives. There are a pair of great student opportunities, I understand, coming up this year, including, as always, Washington Leadership Conference.
I think I say this about every FFA project or event or initiative that we talk about on air, but WLC really is one of my favorite events that FFA hosts each summer. Again, Washington Leadership Conference brings in about 2,400 young people to our nation's capital, where they spend 3, 4 to 5 days with people that they may not know from other states around the country, exploring their Living to Serve project or program, where they can learn what it is that they have to offer their local communities. And they can go into their communities after leaving that conference in Washington, D.C., and make a profound impact and a really big difference in the communities in which they live and serve. Again, it's one of my favorites, and I think that if you ask the majority of FFA members who have attended Washington Leadership Conference in the past, they would agree and are probably nodding their heads as they're listening to this. There are a few open spots for Washington Leadership Conference, specifically for several weeks in the month of July. If you are interested, or if you're a teacher listening to this and you're thinking, gosh, I have a student who would love and be perfect for an experience like that, you can go to ffa.org/WLC to find out more and to discover what open weeks are still available.
Riley, there are also some internships available through the recent Memorandum of Understanding signed between the National FFA and the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, you know, the Memorandum of Understanding that National FFA and the Environmental Protection Agency signed in February with all six of the National FFA officers present highlighted this importance of environmental education and stewardship education. You know, we know as FFA members or agricultural education students or alumni that a lot of our teachers everywhere already teaching young people how to be stewards of the land and how to be environmentally cautious. They're teaching environmental education day in and day out. And so this memorandum of understanding with USA EPA was really a formalization of that and a way to invite young people into these careers in environmental areas that they might not necessarily think about at first glance. And so as a indirect result of that MOU, several region EPA offices have established internships for this coming summer, 2019, that are open to all youth in food, agriculture, and environment. But of course, with an emphasis on FFA involvement. And so if you're interested in learning more about ways that you can intern at the EPA here in Washington, D.C., or in regions across the country and in offices across the country, you can go to epa.gov/careers/students-and-internships. Again, epa.gov/careers/student-and-internships. We would love to have FFA members serving in these roles and in these capacities and better understanding the environments in which we live.
Riley, we've heard that you'll soon be transitioning to a brand new role and a brand new phase within your career, one also that will be taking you away from the show. Fill us in on that opportunity.
Yeah, so I've certainly enjoyed communicating with you all on a monthly basis and even more frequently, and have enjoyed getting, you know, lots of our information into the hands of your listeners. So thanks for the opportunity. My last day at National FFA, a role that I've really loved for an organization that's really close to my heart, but my last day will be April 12th. And on April 15th, I'll be starting a new role in the Office of Partnerships and Public Engagement at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And so I'm not going far, just going down the street in Washington, D.C., and also still helping manage relationships like the FFA's relationship with USDA. And so excited for the new role, but certainly we'll miss some of the faces here.
Well, that's fantastic, Riley. Congratulations on your new role. And of course, thanks for making some time for us today and for all of the many months before. And we'll be sure to catch up with you a little ways up the road once you're all settled in at USDA.
Thank you all.
Riley Padgett, Director of Advocacy and Government Relations for the National FFA. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll be back with your National FFA President. That's coming up on Rural Radio. Well, thanks for being with us. And finally this week, we hand things off to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Brentwald, who sat down with the National FFA President, Luke O'Leary, to talk about his journey in the organization and the wild ride to his place as the organization's top youth ambassador.
Luke, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much.
Well, I am very excited to speak with you and excited about this interview. And I'd like to start off just by asking you, how long have you been part of the FFA?
Yeah, I've been in the FFA since freshman year of high school, 14 years old. I'm now 20, almost 21. So it's been 6 or 7 years now, spending my time in the Blue Jacket, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm grateful for every moment, every year.
All right. Well, what brought you in? Why did you want to join this organization?
You know, in junior high, I was in the 4-H just because I wanted to show some livestock at the fair. And so I had some pigs, and that was pretty much all I knew of what agriculture consisted of and what my role could be. However, when I got to high school, I have three older sisters, and all three of them had taken the ag classes, but were never very involved, never owned a blue jacket like I did. But they encouraged me. They said, Luke, you got to take these classes. You'll enjoy the teachers. You'll enjoy the classes. You got to do it. So I enrolled. I took Agricultural Integrated Science, which is our Intro to Science course as a freshman. And I also enrolled in the Agricultural Leadership course. And that's what really, really hooked me. When I took that class as a freshman, all the freshmen in the leadership course were required to memorize the FFA creed and compete in a competition. And so when I did that fall of freshman year, I suddenly realized, wow, this is a cool gig. I could like this. From the public speaking aspect and learning about agriculture and being exposed to an industry that I really had no personal experiences in, besides my extended family who were involved in agriculture. I just found this is a place that I can feel like I belong, and a place I ended up sticking with and grateful that I did.
That is a great story. And it's interesting you bring up the public speaking. So do you consider yourself a natural public speaker, or was it the FFA that brought this out in you?
You know, I don't know if it was natural or not. My parents would probably say that I wouldn't quit talking growing up. I don't know if that makes me a natural public speaker or not, but I definitely didn't I didn't have the training before taking the ag classes in FFA, but those classes gave me the refined skills. So I always loved talking in front of a crowd, but it was the FFA that taught me exactly how to generate a message that will be impactful for an audience and what that looks like, and whether that was through the different career development events I was involved in, like prepared public speaking, crafting a message behind an agricultural issue, and being able to speak knowledgeably about it was definitely something that the FFA taught me. Not just rambling and talking about things that are on my mind, but really having a message and sharing that with the world around me was something that FFA really gave to me.
Absolutely. Well, tell me about your pathway to becoming National FFA president. How did that all unfold, and what has that meant to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it means a ton. I've just been so grateful to be able to represent students all across the country. It's pretty mind-boggling sometimes when I think about, wow, just a kid from a smaller town on the central coast of California, I suddenly represent a student all the way up in Maine to Hawaii to everything in between. And that is humbling. And I'm so grateful for it. You know, there wasn't any sort of simple, straightforward path towards national office. A lot of students have asked me, you know, is that something that you pictured yourself doing and dreamed of doing your entire time in FFA? And quite honestly, no. Not because I didn't want it, but I just never really pictured myself getting to that point until I served as a state officer in California. And then I watched as Brianna Holbert from California was elected National FFA president last year. And she was a good friend of mine. She was a good friend of our state officer team in California. She traveled around with us as the national officer candidate. And then I was able to see a little bit through her eyes what national office looked like and realized, you know, this is something I could see myself doing. And took the time to talk to different mentors of mine and see if it was really something I wanted to do. And I just decided that this is something I care about. It's something I believe in, the message of our organization and what it provides for students and really provides for the world of generating the next generation of leaders. And so something I believed in, decided to go after. And now that I'm in this role, I wouldn't have it any other way, but it wasn't any sort of straightforward path to it.
Well, once you decided that you were going to go for it, how did things change for you? Did you change something in terms of how you were devoting your time or what kind of preparation you started making?
You know, there was definitely a study plan and a schedule to make sure that I was, on point with my skills and abilities to be prepared for the interview room, and more than that, to be prepared for being elected as a national officer. I think for any sort of interview, you can't just prepare for the interview. You got to prepare for the role, because if you're just prepared for the interview and you end up getting it, then you're going to need some more work to do. So it was a lot of days of studying more, getting more knowledge about the agricultural industry, getting more knowledge about education and the state of agricultural education. And then it was also getting more experiences with members. That's really what it's all about. As a national officer, we represent students when it comes down to it. Yes, we represent the entire organization, and we get to meet with many more people than just students. But that's who we are. We are students, and we represent the FFA members across the country. And so getting those experiences as a candidate, I think, were some of the most valuable experiences I had while running for national office, was getting to students all across the state of California and hearing what they have to say about why they're in FFA and why they are grateful for their experiences, and being able to share those stories with throughout the interview process, and now being able to share those stories and even more across the country throughout my years, really why I'm doing this and why it matters. It's sharing the stories of the 670,000 students across the country that are part of this organization.
Well, Luke, let me ask you, when you were elected national president, how did life change for you?
Oof. Well, I mean, your name is called, and suddenly you have to realize, oh my gosh, is that really my name? and then you run down there, and suddenly your world has changed. And in the most simplest ways, and in some much larger ways. Simple ways being that, wow, suddenly I need to not go to college for the next year, and need to figure out a plan with that of taking the year off. And then also much bigger ways of, wow, I'm about to travel the entire country for a year, and I'm about to make incredible relationships with students across the country that I never would have been able to otherwise. And so you suddenly just are put into this position that not many get to do. And something I'm so grateful that I never really imagined I'd be able to travel nearly all 50 states in one year, and really getting a feel for what the country looks like and what agriculture looks like in all 50 states. It was a pretty crazy moment to hear my name, and I literally had to look to the screen and make sure, is that my name? Is that my face on the screen? Mm-hmm. And I had a special moment where I was able to be hugging Brianna Hulbert, past National Today president. And like I mentioned, she's a good friend of mine. And so to be able to hug her first and run on the stage with her, that was pretty special to know that a friend was the one who was installing me into office.
Yeah, very cool. Now, you're right in the middle of your college journey. You get elected national president, and boom, that's all on hold for a moment.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to suddenly think, oh my gosh, I'm living out of a suitcase for a year. I don't really have a set home for the year, and I'm putting life on hold. But a lot of people ask me what that's like, and I just have to say, well, it's worth it. You know, it's a hard year, but man, is it a worthwhile year to do. Mm-hmm. Just the amount of experiences we get, it all bunched in the 365 days, is pretty astounding.
Well, I want to ask you this question. How do you see agriculture influencing the world around us?
I think that nowadays, in 2019, the changes we're seeing in agriculture is that it's becoming more and more prevalent into everybody's life every single day. And now, yes, it's always been impacting everybody's lives every day because we all have to eat, but nowadays, you see technology companies in very urban settings that are technology ag companies. As a state officer, I had the chance to visit Granular, which is a ag tech software company now owned by Corteva Agriscience. And to be able to see an ag tech company right there in the middle of San Francisco, an urban hub of California, was pretty incredible. And there are people who every day now walk past certain companies just like that in much more urban settings that before maybe had no thought of agriculture. And now they're seeing different areas of new technology that is changing their perspective of what agriculture might look like. And that's something that we see as we begin incorporating with our organization as well. Recently, National FFA, with some generous partners such as Agrinovis and Microsoft, created the Blue Room at National Convention and Blue 365. Which are lesson plans, Blue 365 are lesson plans that teachers can bring to the classroom to educate students about technology and agriculture. And then the Blue Room at National Convention is a immersive experience where students get to listen to speakers in a sort of TED Talk style, as well as just see the different technologies that are being incorporated into agriculture today. I think that's just the biggest part in 2019 in modern agriculture, how every day people are seeing these changes and beginning to see how they can be connected to agriculture more and more, even if they never step foot on a farm.
Yeah, that's really well said and absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, you mentioned that you're going to be living out of a suitcase for a year. So does every national officer have the same schedule and the same travel schedule as you, just going to different places for that year that they're serving?
We all get to go to different places, but it's pretty independent travel. But we're all spread out, so we try to reach as many of the states as possible, as constantly as possible. So we all have our own individual schedules, and thankfully we just get to cross paths every now and then. We keep rotating through and crossing paths, but all very solo travel.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Luke. Really enjoyed hearing your story and hearing all about everything you're doing. Very excited for you, and really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Matt. I really appreciate being here and getting to continue to spread the message of what we believe in as an organization. So thank you.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, thanks as always, Matt, for such a great interview. And that brings us to the close of another show. But as always, if you have something that you'd like to share on the program, or maybe an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Send us an email to FFAtoday@FFA.org, or just give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-7766-147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.